Back in the 1500s, a Roman Catholic priest, a Carmelite monk, a mystic author known as John of the Cross, wrote an amazing poem which we have come to call The Dark Night of the Soul. In this poem, he describes the journey from the wilderness of sin, being lost, not knowing one's way, having to depend entirely upon God, having to trust entirely upon the guidance of God, upon God's grace and God's love, and the only thing one knows going into it is that the destination is God's amazing love and presence. A relationship with the Almighty, the embrace of the Good Shepherd. Over time, the phrase, the dark night of the soul, has been adopted to refer to any time of wandering, any time of struggle in one's path or one's journey, any time of difficulty in knowing what one should do, any time of fear at what's next. Personally, the best way to describe the sense that John of the Cross was talking about are those sleepless nights that we all sometimes have. When we lay in bed, staring up at the ceiling, considering the moving shadows and shapes that we see there, the shapes and shadows being cast by the trees and the bushes outside with the lights behind them. We lay in bed and we listen, drip, 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 to the water in the faucet in the bathroom. We lay in bed and listen and hear the snoring of our dog in the kennel next to us, or the cat pawing at something in the other room. So quiet you can hear your heartbeat. You lay in bed. You can't sleep. You try to sleep, but you can't. There's too much swirling around in your mind. There's too much fear afoot in your soul. There's too much to consider. Too many things to do. Too many contingencies that you've not yet dealt with. So much going on that you can't sleep. And yet you know you need to sleep. You check your phone or your clock, if you still have one of those, to see what time it is, and you see that it's 2 a.m. Then it's 3 a.m. Then it's 4 a.m. And rather than counting the number of hours you have left to sleep, you start counting the number of hours you've been lying in bed unable to sleep. The dark night of the soul is kind of like that. Troubling and agonizing time. When you don't know the twists and the turns of the path before you, you know the destination is God, but that's pretty much all you know. You wish you had a mapper on your phone to show you the next step you're on the way, each turn, each stop, each detour. What accidents are going to be on the bridge ahead of you to slow you down, but you don't have even that. All you know to do, all you can do, is wait until you can take that first step. Mostly in the dark. If you're lucky, you can see where that step is going to land, but oftentimes you don't even know that. The path is so unknown that you've got to take that step. Stick that foot out, not knowing where it's going to come down. Simply trusting that it's going to land someplace. It's a journey of faith, and it's not easy. Sometimes people say faith is an easy path, an easy journey. And of course, sometimes you can see the course ahead of you. You can see the pathway ahead of you. You can see the journey that is to come. You can see at least a first few steps or maybe a dozen steps ahead of you. But my friends, faith is often not easy. Even your first step can be shrouded in mystery. And you don't know where your foot is going to land and what the consequences of taking that first step will be. You simply know you have to take the step. You know it's going to take you someplace. And that someplace will eventually lead you to God. But the route is unknown. The length of the journey is unknown. How long you'll be in the dark night is unknown. It can be, quite frankly, terrifying. And that's where I've been for 3 months. Each day, each night, wondering where I'm going to be next. Wondering how I'm going to deal with my mother in her next problem, in her next challenge, in her next concern, in her next pain, in her next fall, in her next crack in her back, in her next loss of memory. Wondering what's next for me in my life and ministry. You got a peek of that last Sunday. When it was announced that my good friend, my dear friend and colleague in ministry, Brian Deerhoff, who used to be my associate and a pastor and the director of the campus ministry at Texas A&M Commerce, had been appointed to serve as your pastor beginning July 1st. Usually in the United Methodist Church, a new pastor isn't announced until the currently serving pastor is either appointed someplace else or has announced that they're retiring. I have 18 years to go before I retire. So I'm awaiting an appointment. That wait can be short or it can be long. And the details of how they occur, how the appointments are made, are often shrouded in mystery. Clergy often like to joke that how the bishop and the cabinet make appointments can be similar to a game of pin the tail on the donkey, where the cabinet takes the bishop. They put a blindfold on him. They take a whole bunch of darts that have the names of pastors on them. And they take the bishop. They give him a dart with a name on it. They spin him around and they face him at a board that has all the churches of the conference on it. And then he has to throw that dart at the board. And wherever that dart lands is where the pastor goes. That's what it feels like sometimes, friends. That crazy. No, it's really not that bad. Sometimes it's worse. I know that the bishop and the cabinet of district superintendents work hard and long to make appointments, and it only seems like it can be weird or random. It's in the cloudy moments of unknowing. It's in the times of the dark night of the soul. The good news that Jesus is our good shepherd has its greatest impact and its most amazing meaning for us. When we are lost in the dark and don't know what our next step is, when we are lost in the dark and don't know what we are to do, when we put out our foot and we don't know where it's going to fall, it's then and there that the message that Jesus is our good shepherd brings its deepest meaning to us. When we have to actually act in faith in the dark of the night. I am the good shepherd, Jesus said. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. That's incredible. That's amazing. I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus laid down his life for each and every one of you, without exception. And if it was only just you and not the rest of us, Jesus laid down his life for you. Shepherds in the ancient world were often hired hands. They are brought in to tend the sheep, but they really can't be trusted to protect the sheep in a dire emergency. Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus isn't just some hired hand. Jesus isn't someone who is only out for his paycheck. Jesus lays down his life for us. Jesus gives himself for us. He stands between us and the wolves of this life. He fends them off. And when it becomes necessary, he dies for us, to rescue us, to catch us and right us, to help us take that next step of faith. That's the Good Shepherd. That's who we have on our side. That's who I have on my side. That's what I've kept reminding myself night after night as I've tried to sleep, even when not knowing where I'm going. I've reminded myself that the Good Shepherd, who laid down his life for me, is guarding and guiding my steps. If only I'll take those steps. And the Good Shepherd is guiding and guarding you too. I've been blessed to be among you these past 3 years as your pastor, as the under-shepherd of the Great Shepherd. I know that Jesus will care for you amazingly in whatever is to come, just as I know that Jesus will care for me. No, I'm still not at liberty to say where I'm going. I don't even really know if I'm going there. Somebody asked me last Sunday, I won't say who it was, "Well, Greg, where are you going?" I said, "To hell." And she said, "Before hell, after here." And I said, "I still don't know. Not officially. But I know what I do know, what I absolutely know. With every fiber of my being, I know that no matter where it is, the Good Shepherd will be with me, will lead me, will guide my steps. As the Good Shepherd guided me here, as the Good Shepherd guides and guards all of you, as the Good Shepherd stands between us and the big bad wolf, Jesus, our Good Shepherd, will be with us every step of the way. In the month of preaching that is to come, I look forward to continuing to expand upon, expound upon, explain, really open up Scripture in preaching. I wanted to take a moment to remind all of us, and I'm preaching to myself today, friends, to remind all of us, though, that our Good Shepherd is here and is guiding and guarding our steps, and even through a dark night of the soul, he guards and guides every step and leads us along the path. A path that we can dimly or sometimes not even see at all. Leads us along that path, step by step, into his amazing embrace. Feel the embrace of the Good Shepherd today. Know his love. Know that he has come and he will not leave you or forsake you. And know that he will lead you home. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
your prayer.